Lesson from the second letter of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. Brothers, let him who boasts boast of the Lord, for it is not the man who commends himself that is accepted, but the man whom the Lord commends. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to Christ to present you as a pure bride to her one husband. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. Have you understood all this? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The saving words of the gospel. What is new and what is old? What is old is this holy mass that we're celebrating today, the mass itself, the mass formulary, the reform of mass. The saint whom we celebrate is old, but look what we're using. We're using means of social communication so that people from all sorts of places in the world can be virtually gathered at once. So maybe I'm trying to be like the householder who brings out what is old and what is new. I'm struck by a couple of things in here. The Lord, in describing, in explaining the parable about the net being thrown into the sea and the two different kinds of fish, you know, so what does he say here? This is the way it's going to be at the end of things. Angels are going to come and separate the good from the midst of the bad. No, they're going to separate the bad from the midst of the good, separate the evil from the righteous, he says. And throw them into the furnace of fire. And throw them into the furnace of fire. There they will be given lawn chairs and umbrellas and cocktails with like little umbrellas in them. And anyway, today one who faced the choice about her end, St. Lucy, she died in 304 during the time of the persecution of Diocletian. She's one of eight women in the Roman canon. There are three great Sicilian saints who are venerated, women who are venerated. There's St. Agatha in Catania. As a matter of fact, it was Lucy and her mother were taken prisoner, captured during their pilgrimage to visit the tomb of St. Agatha to ask for a miracle for her mother. And Lucy is associated with Syracuse, and then there is Rosalia of Palermo too, another great Sicilian. Our oldest record of Lucy comes from the 5th century Acts of the Martyrs. And her veneration of her began very early. She really captured the imagination, the hearts of many. It's so much so that she is in the Roman canon, you know, along with Agatha, for example. Christian tradition, this is an interesting thing. Christian tradition says that when her guards came to take her off to her execution, they couldn't move her. Even when they hitched up a team of oxen to her. They couldn't move her. And when I read that, I was reminded of one of the phenomena exhibited by the girls at Garabandal. And if you don't know anything about Garabandal, you might just want to take a look at it. There's a fairly decent, relatively new, longish kind of documentary available on the internet that you can take a look at. She had her eyes gouged out before they killed her. But when they discovered rediscovered her remains, or when they were preparing her body for interment, they found that her eyes had been miraculously restored, which is one of the reasons why St. Lucy is patron saint of people with eye illnesses. Now, of course, the eye is the light of the body, right? You've heard that phrase before. And Lucy comes from Lux Lucis, which, of course, means light. And so her feast day, being at this time of year, is also associated with the turn of the seasons, which is one of the reasons why the Advent and Ember days are associated with the Feast of St. Lucy. There are two old English phrases to help us remember when the Ember days fall. One of them is Lenti Penti Cruci Lucy, which is that happens in Lent after Pentecost, after the exaltation of the cross, Cruci, and then, of course, Lucy. The other one is Fasting Days and Embringsby, Lent Whitsun, Holy Rood, and Lucy. Lent, of course, is Whitsuntide. Whitsun is Pentecost. Holy Rood refers to the cross, and, of course, Lucy. The Dante, I would be remiss if I didn't mention her role in Dante in the Divine Comedy, where she shows up really quite often. Lucy shows up in Canto 2 of the Inferno as the messenger sent to Beatrice from the Blessed Lady, from Mary, in order to stir Beatrice up, in order for her to go to Virgil's aid, to send Virgil to Dante. So she's an intercessor there. And then she shows up again in Purgatorio, where Lucy carries Dante upward to the entrance of Purgatory, like an eagle, she's described. And of course, eagles are very eagle-eyed, right? So there's that theme again. And then she carries them both out of darkness later on. And in Paradiso 32, just before the very end of the whole thing, Dante puts her in the great dance of the saints and the circles and so forth of the saints. Dante puts her opposite to Adam in the mystical rose in the 32nd canto of Paradiso. And the interesting thing about Lucy and Dante is that she can stare directly at God, which, of course, there is that theme of sight again. And we think that maybe Lucy was something of a patroness for Dante, who may have, from little bits and pieces, hints that we can pick up, may have had a problem with his eyes, illnesses or difficulties with the eyes. Now, perhaps you will today say a prayer for people who need to see better what it is that they need to do. And I have particularly in mind bishops on the one hand and Catholic politicians on the other hand. And I'll just leave that right there. Two last points. Today I'm wearing a vestment that was given to me by the priests at Santissima Trinità dei Pellegrini in Rome, after we helped to raise some money for their baptismal fund, because they're a parish, they had to have a baptismal fund. And in the long, long history, going back to Philip Neri, it had never been a parish, so it didn't have a baptismal fund. Only parishes have those. And so we raised a lot of money in order to get them that installed and so forth. And they were grateful and gave me this. So I'm very happy to have a Roman vestment on. But also because just recently, at the very end of October, they dedicated a new bell that they put in their tower. And the bell is dedicated to St. Lucy. So that's the connection. That's what inspired me to use this. And there's also I bring your attention to a little book by Matthew Manent. It's a lovely little book. And it's called With Glory and Honor You Crowned Them, The Female Martyrs of the Roman Canon. And here's the book. And I'll put a link to it on the blog so you can find it. And it's a lovely thing. It's got beautiful, color illustrations. And it tells the stories of these lovely female martyrs of the Roman canon. And I have found this to be delightful. So they have in here Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, and Anastasia. So there we go. Dominus obisum. Oremus. Afferentur regi virginis posea, proximeus afferentur tibi letitia, ed exultatione, adocentur in templum regi domino.